Acts 27. I had another title for this passage. I think a better title is Smooth Sailing? If you look at this chapter, these two chapters, there's a lot that happens, and there's a journey, a voyage that took place, but there's a lot more to it. We used to have this book called Why, and it gave word meaning. Anybody else have the book called Why? It gave word meanings for, you know, the derivation of various words. Threshold, for example. I'm off subject here. Anybody know the origin of the word threshold? Back in the days of dirt floors, thresh was an upgrade. And you needed a board to keep it in the room. So they put a board there and they called that a threshold. Kept the thresh in the living room. How many worked on threshing machines years ago or knew people that did? I didn't. My mother did or was around it. POSH is actually an acronym according to that book. Apparently for British trips on ships. What? Is there another story? So if you wanted to take a cruise from Great Britain, you wanted you wanted the port side out and the starboard side home. I don't know much more than that, but POSH is port side out, starboard side home, is what this book claimed as the origin of that. Does that agree with what you've read? So apparently the view was better one way or the other, something like that. This was not a posh trip for Paul. This was not a, you know, there are challenges in our lives and we go through them. And, well, let me say it to you this way. So look at these two chapters as what was that all about? All right, you can go through situations, short or long, and you get through there and you look through and you say, what? What was that all about? This was really hard. This was challenging. I don't understand this. What was this all about? What I found in studying through this time is that in relation to our witnessing to other people, and more importantly, in our relationship to our Heavenly Father, to enduring well or living or serving in a way that pleases Him, for God to be honored, that's the important thing. Paul started off with no hearing. That is, nobody was listening to him. As he entered, yeah, granted he was a prisoner on board the ship headed to court, you know, the high court in Rome. But as it goes on and on and on, all of a sudden he's gaining a hearing, and all of a sudden God is being recognized a little bit more. You get all the way through this and you don't see fruit per se. You don't see salvations per se. But it starts off so slowly and it grows and grows and grows to the where you can say, okay, that's maybe what was going on in these two chapters. Yeah, it was about getting from here to here. But it was about a testimony before other people that didn't get to the place of bearing fruit, but that's where life is. So, let me ask it this way. Should we be praying always for smooth sailing? Or should we be praying always for God to be honored in the storm? What is more useful for God's service, an uneventful voyage? Or a northeaster with shipwrecked soldiers, barbarians, and brothers? Which is more useful for God's glory? The second was. It could have been a smooth sailing trip. But what happened seemed to be more useful for God's glory. We're going to fly from crow's nest to crow's nest. And not look at a lot of the passages here, but try to pick out some things. What I noticed is a pattern, in especially 27. The pattern is this. There's circumstance that everybody on board is involved in. Paul gives some advice, Generally, it's advice. It turns into miracles a little bit later. Give some advice, and then there's a response to his advice. And then we go on to the next circumstance. This goes over and over. Circumstance, advice given, or a word from the man of God, Paul, and then a response. And how that response comes back can be discouraging, and it was at times. But still, God was being acknowledged a little more and a little more. So let's look at this, but let's pray before we do. Father, thank you for your grace and the day you're giving us together. Thank you for those who are with us earlier. We plead with you for enablement now to communicate this message, these two chapters. We pray for your richest blessing on your people. We pray for Bill and his testimony and Pam with their testimony with Vic. Thank you for the friendship that is growing. Lord, we plead with you to save this man and his wife. Give Bill and Pam the joy of leading them to you and even discipling them after. We thank you for Uncle Bart and his mention of Megan Hardwick, who's in basic training. Lord, what a challenge for a young person. We plead with you to help her to do well and be safe and grow stronger and more gain more skill and wisdom in this new role that she's pursuing. And Lord, we thank you for the Arcees and their faithful ministry to you over the years. We pray that you would help them with their health challenges to be wise over this year and careful but Lord, useful in your work, helpful. And we pray for others to go along with them to Argentina as a great experience of helping other brothers and sisters in another country. And Lord, if there's someone from here, or a couple or young people from Village Chapel that could go, wouldn't it be great if we could send them along and they have this experience. So we pray for your guidance. If you would, Lord, involve someone from our church to help with this project, we pray that you would develop that desire and lead to that end. Thank you for this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Jump in with me, chapter 27. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Jump down to verse 9 with me. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, so they were in a time where they weren't catching the wind, and they weren't making much progress, and all of a sudden now it was well into the season of year. We're in the Mediterranean. The circumstances, sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was now already past. Paul admonished them, here's the advice, and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also to our lives." So, how Paul gained a hearing is an interesting thing to consider as a prisoner, but he did, and he shared his concern. And the response is, verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than of those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart." So the captain said, "No, we got to sail." And the majority said, "We've got to sail." So here Paul is trying to protect lives and shares this information, his concern. And the decision is, nope, who's Paul? We're not going to, you know, he doesn't. So next circumstance, verse 14. "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon," I believe that is also, that's translated northeaster in some other translations. So, Usans are familiar with the nor'easter, right? By the way, a nor'easter, right? Isn't there this component of a westerly event that's coming, and then there's this almost this hurricane type pattern of bringing water off the ocean back in, and it just kind of parks there for a period of time. Well, they were in that kind of. Apparently in that kind of storm, another circumstance. "And when the ship was caught," there's some nautical terms here it'd be fun to learn more about, "and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." I think basically you know, took their hands off the wheel and so forth and let it run its course. Verse 20, well, let me read a little bit further here. And running under, verse 16, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. So I believe that means they cut some of the sail lines and let things fall into a less propelling form. And we began being exceedingly tossed in the tempest. Next day, they lightened the ship. So now they're throwing cargo off. They're going to throw tackle off. They're lightening the ship. And, you know, you could just feel a little bit of this motion that they were going through back and forth continuously in the waves of the Mediterranean in this storm. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That's pretty dire straits. They were in a rough way. That's the circumstance. Here comes the counsel. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them. Let me encourage you to think about this. I used to think long abstinence meant Paul bit his tongue for a long time before he said this, but I'm not sure that's what it means. We find out a little later they had not eaten for 14 days. So it may be they were just not eating. They were focused on doing what they had to do. Not really sure how to interpret this, but it could be that they simply were starving along with suffering in this ship. Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So here's Paul, who wasn't listened to before. Now he's making proclamations that are pretty big, but he has a reason for making them. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So here he's sharing a promise that he was given by perhaps a messenger, an angel from God. And he says, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. So in your witness, a lot of times you don't get to witness. Your friends see circumstances. They see you responding in a godly way, but you don't get to actually share much. Finally, he's able to say, I believe God. God has sent a message for us that we're going to be spared. We're going to be safe. You can be encouraged. And so we look for the next circumstance or the opportunity to share the gospel with a friend. I think we go to 31 is our next place. They went through more of this storm, continuing on. 14th night in verse 27. Verse 31, Paul said to this, I need to back up. They were about to crash. Notice verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they were about to crash. They were moving in too quickly to shore. They cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. This is at midnight. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, the sailors were about to take the lifeboat and leave. When they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes. What happened? Between, sirs, this is dangerous, we shouldn't take this voyage now, not listening to him, to all of a sudden now what he says, they're listening. So God is impressing through Paul, and they're beginning to have some awareness, not much, but a little recognition, not as much as we would like, not maybe enough that we're ready to say, would you like to trust Jesus as your Savior? Do you have enough knowledge? But they're learning a little more about God. This guy knows something. And so they began to listen to him and responded quickly. Verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat or food, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. And then he encourages them to take something to eat, and they did. In verse 36, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. We were in all on the ship, 216 souls. They ate, they lightened the ship some more. Then the next circumstance comes up in verse 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which, if they were minded, if they were possible, to thrust into the ship. So you know the account. They tried to head the ship into this inlet, and it got stuck in the sand. The bow was stuck in the sand, and the stern was broken by the waves. So the shipwreck happens. And the soldiers give counsel in verse 42 to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. Again, I think there is this acknowledgement, and we're going to see a little bit more in chapter 28, of Paul's God. Verse 1 in chapter 28, our next circumstance comes, and when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. What does that mean? What does no little kindness mean? You want to offer a thought? A lot of kindness. Does that make sense? They showed a lot of kindness. It wasn't a little, it was a lot. They were very hospitable. For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. You know, and involved in that, this fire was built. There's a bonfire for all of these people to get warmed and dried. Who's helping to carry firewood? Paul was helping to carry firewood. And when he carried this firewood over to the thing and he got close to the fire, what jumped out? A snake, and it bit him on the hand. It held onto his hand. And what did he do? He shook it off and felt no harm. We don't have miraculous circumstances happen to us generally, but we do have circumstances happen. These people, it seems, were fairly superstitious. Their opinion when they saw the snake on Paul's hand was that he must be a murderer. The only recognition that they have towards God in some little way is at the end of verse 4. Vengeance or justice suffereth not to live. They recognize the impersonal force of justice. Not God, but justice. No harm came to him. He was fine. And then they thought he was a god. So superstitious, back and forth, no basis for any faith yet. But here he was, being a testimony. And that's, you know, our friends could be very superstitious. Our neighbors, people that you talk to and work with, can be so without any foundation or basis for their faith. So to continue giving a little bit here and a little bit there, and to seek to be an ongoing testimony and a witness. There were healings that came up next. Verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously, very hospitable, again. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, so Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. We don't hear about preaching. Maybe it was there. In other words, when it comes to witnessing, so these people could have knowledge of the word, and faith cometh by hearing and trust, that may have happened. It's not recorded for us. The point I guess I'm trying to see is God was being honored in Paul's life. Even though it was just a crack of the door, And some of these circumstances, without a great opportunity to say much. He wasn't able to really seemingly say much. These people went on in their hospitality in verse 10, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Sailing on in verse 11. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose name sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing in Syracuse, it talks about different places where they go down through and how they came around. I think verse 13, from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after another south wind blew, we came the next day to Ptolemy. They're coming through just in front of the toe on Italy in that point, I believe, and coming up the western coast. Notice this, 14, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Notice this, and from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. So it sounds like the ship sailed and the Christians ran to the next seaport and met them. And notice the result of that. They came to meet us as far as Epiphorum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. You say, I didn't know he was discouraged. And there was an encouraging effect of the believers to the Apostle Paul as he was headed to Rome. He had a testimony along the way. There were healings. He had, you know, some opportunity to represent the Lord. Now he's in Rome in verse 16, and he's given liberty. One soldier's keeping him. He's able to have anybody come to him that he desires. Within a short time, he calls the Jewish leaders of the city of Rome. Come in here. And he shared with them. And some believed, and some did not. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing the... Isaiah prophesied, God told Isaiah to prophesy this about the nation of Israel. Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. When they heard, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Verse 30 concludes the book. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Prison epistles were written. The gospel was shared. Philemon was sent back, maybe from this very setting. Rick spoke on that recently. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Paul could look back on those 2 chapters and be quite disappointed, couldn't he? There isn't seemingly a recognition of people having gotten saved, but there are circumstance after circumstance where he was able to represent the Lord and give a little more insight as to the God that he served. And it might be like that in your life and in mine, in our church. There can be difficult circumstances for different difficult periods of time, but may we be faithful at representing our Heavenly Father. May there be an increase of the awareness of God and your faith in Him. May your faith show in the storm. Pray much, not for smooth sailing, but for God to be honored in the storm. We stand together.